The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
It started as a whisper until you screamed it at the top of your lungs. We gained momentum. You made us unstoppable. We had a vision for change. You made it a revolution. We told you we are the future, until you told us the future is now.
We are NXT!
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the NXT Cast. I'm your host, Don Delarante, and I'm joined by my co-host, Miss Simi. How are you, Miss Simi?
Hey, doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Glad you could join me once again for another edition of the NXT Cast, where we're going to talk about a whole lot of things that took place on this NXT, including...
Oh, yeah.
Io Shirai and her first title defense in the main event of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
But before
we definitely deserved.
Before we get there, just to let everybody know, NXT Cast is part of the WrestleCast. You can find us on the CSPN at cspn.us on the web. You can also subscribe to the NXT Cast through the WrestleCast. All you have to do is subscribe to the WrestleCast dash the CSPN. Click on the logo that has the New Day holding the WrestleCast sign, and you will get the NXT Cast each and every week. With all you have to do is just mindlessly let us record it, upload it, and then it comes into your podcast feed each and every Thursday and Friday. So we start with a recap of Keith Lee becoming the first NXT double champion. Johnny Gargano, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, Cameron Grimes, Timothy Thatcher, and Kushida, and a lot more of the roster, share videos congratulating him and also saying that they're coming to dethrone him. So Keith Lee right now is a marked man.
Oh, yeah.
The very last person on this collage of NXT stars is Karrion Kross. And he just says, TikTok. Keith Lee is introduced to address the crowd. He has the introduction as the double champion said again by the lovely and talented Miss Alicia Taylor. He says he wanted to hear it because it sounded so good. He talks about the losses during the past few months, including his trainer, who also acted as his father, as a father figure to him. He also thanks the WWE Universe and mentions one other person who has helped him along the way, and that would be Dominik Dijakovic. He brings out his number one frenemy. Dijakovic comes out, and Lee says that their matches and Dijakovic's competition has been a part of what pushed him to where he is. Lee talked with William Regal, and he thinks that Dijakovic should be the first challenger for both titles. Lee wants to do it tonight. Dijakovic is kind of stuttering and stammering, and Keith Lee is like, nah, just say yes. And so Dijakovic accepts for later on in the night.
I didn't want this. I didn't want them to wrestle again for at least a year. At least. It's too many.
Well, they had
Let me breathe.
They had too many matches where they wrestled and nobody had a title. That was the problem.
Right.
And the first time one of them gets a title, they revisit the match that we've seen too many times already.
Right. It's like give this some time to marinate, to breathe just a little.
Okay.
And Keith Lee, stop dragging. Doing belts on the ground.
Wear one, put one over your shoulder.
Look at Bailey.
Right.
It bothered me because they were literally just like dragging on the floor, and I'm like, pick those belts up.
And
pick them up off the ground.
And we also have to say, Keith Lee, there's something that happens when you become the champion. I didn't make the rules. This is kind of how the rules are in wrestling. But once you become the main champion, you got to dress it up a little bit. You can't just come out here in your t-shirt and your little booty wrestling shorts and your knee pads pulled down to your ankles and cut this promo as, you know, your first appearances win the titles. You need to be out here in some slacks, a nice shirt. I know it's Florida, so you don't have to have a coat or a jacket.
But some
you,
snazzy.
Yeah, but you need to do the Drew McIntyre. You know, you see how Drew's carrying it now, you know. He doesn't just come out there in his little shorts and his little vest. He's got his slacks on and his hair greased back and his collared shirts and they're pressed. And you got to carry yourself like a champion.
Elevate it just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. He's got time to work on it. But hopefully, Mia Yim, I know she listens to the podcast, so hopefully she hits him to some 411 between dragging the belts and, you know, dressing and looking like the NXT World's Champion.
Yeah.
So that leads us into me and Miss Simi's favorite, Cameron Grimes.
It just makes me so happy.
He's going up against Damian Priest. Damian Priest hits a Razor's Edge onto the apron. He rolls Cameron Grimes back in, but he only gets a two count. Grimes catches Damian Priest with the flipping Spanish Fly Slam for two. Cameron Grimes is impressed with himself, so he starts talking a little smack. That gives Damian Priest an opening to fire off some right hands. Priest puts Grimes down with the Reckoning to get the win. After the match, Damian Priest says he'll be watching the match between Lee and Dijakovic because obviously he wants a chance to be a double champion.
Oh yeah. I wonder what are they doing with Priest? I don't know if they're trying to like move him to the main roster or something, but he needs something.
I thought this match would be a little bit longer and a little bit more competitive. Like Cameron Grimes really only got that like the Spanish Fly in. Right. That was really all he got in. He took a whoop.
That was it. Well, after all that shit he did, Damon was like, oh no, you gonna get these hands, these feet, this elbow, you gonna get all the smoke.
Yeah, he definitely was, he definitely turned it up on him. Now it's time for another session of Timothy Thatcher's Catch Camp. He puts a student in the Fujiwara armbar and applies more pressure when the guy taps out. Thatcher says that's how you leave an impression.
Another week of Thatcher torture school. They need to put an investigation into that school. It's not a school. It's just somewhere where you come to get your limbs broken and fucked with. And for Timothy Thatcher to smile at you and be like, see? See how much pain I can put you in?
Yeah.
You pay him for it.
I've definitely enjoyed the little sessions that they've been having. Mm-hmm. I enjoy this a lot. I am a big Timothy Thatcher fan, as you know, just due to his style alone. But definitely am looking forward to what comes next because we're going to talk about Timothy Thatcher a little bit later on in the show. And but until then, Indy Hartwell, she's back.
Yay!
She's taking on Shotzi Blackheart.
Yay.
Robert Stone limps out to the ring in her walking boot to distract Shotzi, but she still hits a DDT on the Indy Hartwell. Robert Stone distracts the referee as Shotzi goes up top, and then Aaliyah runs down to the ring and knocks Shotzi Blackheart off the top rope. Indy Hartwell follows that up with the big boot, and Indy Hartwell, even shocking to herself, gets the pin and the win over Shotzi Blackheart.
Oh, I like this Indy Hartwell.
Yeah,
I don't think I've seen her wrestle before. Was she in like the Mae Young Classic?
No,
because
she just signed this year. She was a late last like the end of last year. So I think she might have had two or three matches on NXT TV. I know it's less than five. Yeah, but she's got potential. She's really tall.
Yeah.
She's got long legs. She's got pretty good strength, good speed. Mm-hmm. So she's definitely a prospect.
Yeah. Let's see more of her and Shotzi. excited.
Tegan Nox is interviewed in the back and admits that Io might be the best in the world right now. She says that she will jump over that obstacle because tonight is her night. She's stronger, faster, and shinier than ever. And she says she wants to be a champion just like her heroes, Kane and Molly Holly. Now, I know this was like your favorite part of the night. We get a vignette for Legado del Fantasma. They're sitting around drinking in suits and discussing Lucha Libre culture. Escobar puts them over. He calls Mendoza a technical assassin. And he says that they are La Familia.
Great segment. They looked very good. I appreciate the fashions, obviously. But I also like that it kind of like reintroduced them to like who they were. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it gives like people, so you know their role in the group, and like it gives you what they're about, their intentions, and what they're here to do. Short and to the point.
Yeah.
Liked it. It was like a term paper introduction.
They actually need to be presenting Zelina, Andrade, and Angel like this.
Yeah.
Instead of having them be kind of all splintered and everything, they need to have them like as a solid collective. And let Angel Garza and Andrade dress up in some suits. It's just something about wrestlers wearing suits.
Agreed.
Takes a whole different, you have to take them more seriously.
Just people in a well-tailored suit, man, woman, whoever, just impeccable.
Right.
So now it's more people in suits.
So now it's time for Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic. The NXT and North American Championships are on the line. Dijakovic gets a two on a sidewalk slam. Dijakovic comes off the top with a blockbuster, and that gets him another two count. He keeps up the pressure, but he leaps into a double chop, and then he takes a choke slam, and Keith Lee hits the Big Bang Catastrophe to retain the North American and NXT Championships.
Yay.
They didn't do
it. I mean, it was a good match. They always have a good match. I'm just like bored.
It was scaled down. It was watered down. They didn't do nearly half of the moonsaults and big man flips and dives that we've come accustomed to. This is more of like a straight up just in the ring wrestling match.
Right.
The two men embrace after the match. When the lights are dimmed, our fave, Scarlett, appears. Yeah. Woo. Empties a bag with a broken hourglass into the apron. She laughs and she stares down Keith Lee.
Yes. The bad bitchery of it all. Just walk down, drop some content, strut back up with that Naomi walk, and then just stare at you for like 10 seconds before she leaves. That's all we need.
I knew it was a bad look when Keith Lee destroyed that hourglass.
Yep. Soon as I was just like, oh, well, there goes you.
And
that was a bad idea.
It is a great little callback to make sure that people were paying attention. Because if you don't watch the show every week, you're kind of like, what's going on?
Right.
But so just a Scarlett is a scene stealer.
She really is.
That's the reason why lately they've been keeping Karrion Kross away from her. Unless he's coming out to wrestle a match.
Right. Because they're like, hey, look at him. He's the one we want to feature. No, we want the woman.
Exactly.
Move, Karrion.
We're here.
We want the pretty black lady, the pretty blonde lady. That's what we want.
Right. She is Sable 2.0 to Johnny B. Badd. Mark Merrill.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. One of our favorite jobbers, Denzel Desjardins, is wrestling Timothy Thatcher.
Oh, well.
Desjardins was like he played football, so he's got some NFL experience, and he actually was like a collegiate wrestler as well. So this match actually is kind of like a shoot match. They were doing a lot of mat wrestling reversals and stuff. And then Timothy Thatcher's like, okay, I had enough of this. Puts him in the single leg grab and makes him tap out. But of course, based off of the Timothy Thatcher camp segment that we saw earlier, that wasn't good enough. He needed to make that lasting impression, so he goes to put on another submission when Oney Lorcan runs out, he attacks Timothy Thatcher, sending Timothy Thatcher scurrying to the mat.
So fight again.
Yeah, so it looks like we're going to get a little bit more Oney Lorcan, Timothy Thatcher. I'm here for it.
Me too. I like their match. They're good.
Yeah, all day, every day. Rhea Ripley on Twitter made it clear that she's back on the hunt for the NXT Women's title. Nice way to keep Rhea involved in the story, even though she might not have been able to be there physically. Yeah. Earlier in the day, we see Robert Stone. He had a chance to speak with Killian Dane and blame Shotzi Blackheart for throwing a coffee on him. Aaliyah runs over with a Dexter Lumis art piece that depicts Stone getting run over and the coffee getting thrown on Dane. Dane is pissed, and he demands Robert Stone get him a match with Dexter Lumis.
Okay, so I guess we're going to do Dexter Lumis versus Killian Dane now.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, there is this one part where Dijakovic is in it. I skipped this part. Dijakovic gets interviewed about the match he had with Keith Lee. He notes that he saw Scarlett out there. He says, Karrion Kross is good, but he's no Keith Lee. That brings over Karrion Kross. They get into each other's face. They end up brawling. Karrion Kross backdropped Dijakovic over like some guardrails onto the cement.
Yeah.
And like just left him laying.
Bro, yeah. I was just like, oh, bro, fighting? Why are we fighting all of a sudden? Yo, Dijakovic is tall as shit.
Yeah, he's like 6'8".
Because, like, Karrion came up to, like, I think his nose or some shit. I was like, yo, you tall as fuck.
Next week, our listed matches are Dexter Lumis versus Killian Dane and Karrion Kross versus Dominik Dijakovic.
Interesting.
Now it's, we'll see how that goes. Now it's time for our main event.
Oh, yeah.
Io Shirai versus Tegan Nox, NXT Women's Championship match. Tegan kicks Io in her bad knee because Io, she went for a move and jammed her knees, so her knees were all messed up. So Tegan kicks her in the knees, then she hits a front suplex. Then Tegan hits the Molly Go Round and gets a near fall. Io interrupts the Shiniest Wizard with a nasty shote. Io then hits a moonsault, and Io retains the NXT Women's title.
Yay! This was a great match. Oh. Yo, when she threw that girl into them stairs, I was like, oh, shit. Woo! That reverberated. I was like, god damn!
Did you...
I really like this match.
Did you have an uptick for Tegan?
Slightly. I need her to get better with that choke slam that she tries to do. Just like... I don't know. It's just not as smooth as it could be. But I'm just like, my thing with Tegan is she doesn't really have a character really. It's mostly about what things like happen to her. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, she got hurt. She comes back. Oh, Dakota turned on her. This person turned on her. It's like, I want like a clearer character for her. And then maybe I can get into it a little bit more, because that's kind of like what they have with like some of the women. Mm-hmm. It's just like they'll give them like titles or they'll just give them catchphrases, but it's just like, what is their character? It's just like, I don't.
So Tegan Nox and Kenny Omega have the same syndrome in your eyes. They're not quite defined as what their character should be.
Right. Yeah. Like you have Sasha, like, she's like the boss. Like, you know what she's about. That's a clear character. Even Bayley now with their heel shit, that's a clear character. Bianca Belair, that's a clear character. Io Shirai has gotten better with, because they'll just be like, the genius of the sky. And I'm like, what does that mean? But like, it's clearer a little bit now because they're like, oh, she's like a lone wolf. She doesn't need anybody else. She's her own person. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, if you just give them like, kind of like a directive that they can kind of hone in on, I think I can kind of like, it can be a little bit more.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I know you don't know this, but Io Shirai's boyfriend is evil in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and evil just became the new double champion in New Japan. He defeated Naito over the weekend. So, on this one podcast I listened to, the guy was like, "Everything is Io." Because they're, you know, they're a championship couple.
Awesome. That's amazing. I love that. I mean, I can't, that's what I'm trying to do. But you can't do it. You're not.
Io Shirai is walking up the ramp like the bad bitch that she is, letting everybody know she's the champ and ain't nobody tougher than her. When out of the blue, Dakota Kai kicks her right in the face, lays out and stands over her, and that's how we end this week's NXT.
My girl Dakota, just out of nowhere. Every time she just comes out of nowhere, kicks somebody in the face, I laugh. I just do. I can't help it.
Dakota Kai.
What a great ending.
Yeah, Dakota Kai the last few weeks has won her matches and mugged to the camera that she's coming for the title.
Yep.
So I guess we shouldn't have been shocked when when the ending of this match and the ending of the show took place. What I'd really like to get into with you, though, is the direction that WWE as a company has taken in the last couple of months, where they're, except for last week's NXT, where they had the double title match, it's been like women main events. It's been women's main events on Raw, women's main events on SmackDown. They've had so many women in the main event featured part of the show. And I was just wondering, you know, your thoughts about it, and then I'll kind of piggyback off of what you say.
It's about that damn time. Because the women have been running this shit for so long. Every time I would hear about NXT, what was it? It was Sasha Banks. It was Bayley. It was Charlotte. It was Becky. And sometimes Finn Balor. It's what they deserve. They should have been main eventing for so long, because they're the ones that have been making the show. Except for that sing-off shit. That was stupid.
Oh, you didn't?
That was dumb.
You didn't like the karaoke?
How the fuck no? What the fuck was that? I hated it. And usually I'm the one that's like, that likes campy shit. I like the Newly Bro show, but that was stupid. I hated it. I get the purpose of it was to make Lacey a heel, but you know what she could have done? You could have had her and Naomi wrestle. Naomi kicks her ass. She gets pouty. She beats Naomi. Lacey's a heel now. We're done. That's it. It could have been done. That's it. But no, that like singing stuff was dumb. But I am loving that the women are main eventing, because they deserve. They've been carrying this company for so long. They've been the most interesting part of all these shows for so long. And it's like, it's about time that you give them what they deserve. It's about time.
Big change has come about since Bruce Pritchard has taken over both shows. He's definitely realized, I guess, through the metrics probably, that that the ladies draw ratings and they keep people interested in the show, especially Raw, throughout the whole 3-hour duration of the show.
Oh, yeah.
So if you've noticed, they've kind of been getting like the Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler stuff like out of the way up front, like in the very first like 10 minutes of the show. And then everything is leading here the past couple of weeks to Sasha and Bayley having their tag team title defenses. And so I agree with you. I think it's a good change of pace. It gives the ladies a chance to, you know, be in spots that they definitely have earned and deserve to be in. And apparently by the way the ratings, especially for NXT, the past couple of weeks have been, it's been drawing eyes to their product. Yep. So, I mean,
you can't... You hear that, Ric Flair?
You can't complain about that. Especially for, you know, what they're in the midst of with AEW right now. WWE will tell you it's not a war, but, you know, they was the first ones to be bragging or throwing up the overall numbers in the ratings, and that's the reason why Chris Jericho came out and had that promo he cut on AEW this week, just because, you know, it is a war. WWE doesn't want you to think it is, but it definitely is. Yeah. If it wasn't, I'll tell you this. This is how you knew it was a war. Yeah. If it wasn't a war, they would have kept NXT on the network.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was nothing wrong with NXT being on the network. It was perfectly fine.
I still watch it on the network, so.
But they wanted to have that time slot, go head to head, keep everybody away from watching AEW, and fracture the audience. And, well, I don't think their audience is fractured, because, like you said last week, you know, you're watching one, you're Dig VR and the other one. You know, so they're still getting the same amount of watches as they would get if, you know, it was one was on one day and the other one was on another day, or if they were staggered by an hour from each other.
Because it could have been on Tuesdays. You could have just taken on SmackDown spot, but you didn't.
Yeah. So this was another strong episode of NXT. It wasn't Great American Bash Night 1 or 2 level strong.
No, it wasn't, but.
Right. It wasn't too much of a hangover show where they just throw a bunch of squash matches out there. They did kind of pay off a couple of things. Showing Dakota, you know, being the next challenger for Io was really strong. Right out of the New Japan Pro Wrestling playbook. They don't cut a lot of promos. They don't make a lot of announcements. Basically, what happens is somebody wins a hard-fought title match. They are like exhausted, and then somebody runs in, jumps in from behind, or when they get to the end of the ramp, somebody comes out and like has a standoff with them, and then it's instantly like, this is where we're going next.
I like that.
It's a lot simpler, and it's a lot more direct, and you don't have to waste as much time trying to cultivate something, like, you know, we already Dakota kicked Io in the face. Okay, that's all we need to know.
Exactly. It's like, in the face, it's hot.
Right. We don't need like all this backstory and all this speculation and all this and all that. We know exactly what the story is.
Right. Let's just get to it. Let's be done. Let's go.
Right.
I mean, speaking of the women, the Kabuki Warriors versus Sasha Bailey for that championship match. Woo! I just watched it like an hour ago. It was so good.
Oh yeah, that's why I forgot. You don't do Mondays and Fridays on a normal basis.
I usually do Fridays. Okay. And then like I start to get bored and I'm like, because like it was just so good. The ring psychology, Bailey making fun of like Kyrie's like telescope thing, she's doing the random thing, like the hot tags, just spectacular. Loved it.
Yeah, Sasha and Bailey are at the tippy top of their games right now. I don't think anybody who's watching WWE programming over the last 2 months can say anything different.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking forward to them just being on TV, getting around the mics, wrestling a match, just whatever that they're doing for all these shows, it's just working. So, hopefully they
give me Evolution too.
Hopefully they come back to NXT soon. NXT really hasn't been trying to build up too many women's tag teams though.
They kind of started to, and then they dropped it. Yeah, I'm like, to make some
incredible challengers. But
and like, I don't know if you follow Cammy D on Twitter.
Okay,
but she made an option that she wanted a Queen of the Ring, and I'm like, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Right?
Cool. Yeah.
I was just like, oh.
Let's do it before.
Then you definitely have, exactly. You have enough women to do it.
Right.
You can have fresh matchup.
And let's do it before Charlotte gets back.
Yeah.
So we both know who the winner is going to be. And hopefully, I know we give Charlotte a hard time on this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shaolin Shogun's number one, her number one fan. We give him a hard time too, but let's just have a little bit of some thoughts and prayers to Charlotte. She's taking an extended leave of absence because her silicone keeps bursting, and so
again.
Yep.
Oh no! So, and I heard that's really, really painful.
Yeah, so she's going in to. She got them fixed, and of course. Of course, when you go in to get them fixed, you might as well get them bigger as well, right? Yeah. So she did that, and then it started happening again. And so now, so now that's where she's at. She's taking the time to get that elective surgery so she can get that correct.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
Very dangerous.
It's elective, but it's like that a lot of shit can happen in surgery.
Right.
I hope she gets better. I thought she was just taking a break. She's like been on like every show for like ever.
I'm pretty sure that too. I mean, she's she's never really been injured in the 5 years that they've been. The women's revolution was like 5 years ago, so she's never been injured during that time that she has been on the main roster. I don't think she's ever been injured when she's been in NXT, so she's been going like 8 years without a significant break, so you know, I guess it's just time wear and tear for her as well. Hopefully everything works.
They don't need a break though. I think it's good to have like wrestlers like just take breaks every now and then, number one for their body, and also so like they can get rejuvenated and revived and like people can kind of like miss them. Because, and then when they come back, it's like fresh and new. You know, like they did that a lot with John Cena. I hate a lot on John Cena. And that's just because he talks for like 35 minutes straight for no reason. But like every time he come back, it'd be like a big ass pop. Even the people who like love to boo. Same thing with like Roman. So I think it's a good thing to take a break every once in a while.
If Roman ever decides to come back, that pop in front of fans, that thing is going to be huge.
Yeah.
But
and it will be me.
I don't think Roman Reigns is getting anywhere near Florida until there's a vaccine. If they not coming, if they not coming to produce a show at his house, we not gonna see that man for a while.
I miss that Donna, the Michael Cole bingo. It's the big dog. I miss him on my screen. Him and his wet hair and his damn bulletproof vest. I miss Roman on my screen.
Hopefully, this will be a chance where he can come back and do a complete change. Everybody else is broken away from the Shield except for him. He needs to break away from that. Come out with some new gear, you know, just change it up because, you know, the Shield is so far in the rearview mirror now.
Yeah. Even though I'm a mark for the Shield, okay? Every time they would tease a Shield reunion, who was there for it? Me. I popped for it every time, but the Shield is dead.
And
unfortunately,
the gear no longer represents his character because when he first came, he was just a big enforcer guy. So yeah, that gear definitely represented his character. But now that he's the leading man in WWE, for all intents and purposes,
it doesn't apply anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't apply anymore. So he needs to, you know, let people. Unless he's got like, you know, something going on where, because you know he used to be like 320 pounds, right? When he played college football. He used to play college football and he was a defensive tackle, one of the big guys in the middle who stopped the run. So then, you know, he got out of football or whatever when he realized he wasn't going to go pro. So maybe he has like, you know, maybe some weird stuff going on with his chest and his stomach from being so big and then becoming so small. But I don't think that it would stop anything. Look at Baron Corbin. I mean, you know.
Right. It's like, it's fine, Roman. It's fine. It's Because there was this video of him. I don't know if it was, I think it was like something for the Super Bowl, where he was like talking cash shit about his team and how they're going to win. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yo, give me that shit on TV.
They've let him flash that every once in a while. But yeah, if you ever listen to him on podcast, or you ever listen to him just kind of on like anything that's not WWE related. Oh, yeah. That man is just naturally cool, natural charisma, an easy talker.
Yeah.
And the like, stuff they give like him is just terrible for TV, though.
It's bad. It's so like structured. Like he wasn't like up, up, down, down. And they were like playing Call of Duty. And like just his shit talking is so just like cool and easy. It's just like, yo, give me that shit. Ah, I miss Roman. God damn it. The point of that is I miss Roman.
Sometimes you don't know what you got until it's gone.
Right.
Yes. SmackDown.
I knew what I had. I've always known. I didn't have to have him leave. I've always loved you, Roman.
SmackDown's been really strong the past couple of weeks.
Yeah. Again. Except this, like, freaking Jeff Hardy, Sheamus stuff. I'm like, No. I'm not. And the most is just like, what if this is triggering for him? I don't like it.
Well, it's straight out of the Stone Cold Scott Hall playbook that they ran about 15 years ago or so now. Probably a little bit longer than that. Where you take somebody's real issues, bring them to light, and then you put them through that torture. Because, like, what happened was, Scott Hall's got, everybody knows his issues with pills and alcohol and everything. So they had Steve Austin tie this man up to, like, kidnapped him, tied him up in a chair in his dark place, and then he poured all this beer on him.
Oh, what the fuck is that?
Well, what they didn't know was that Scott Hall was taking some type of pills that like suppresses your want for beer and alcohol. And like if you drink it, you get like this negative reaction. And of course, they put beer on him and he gets like this negative reaction.
Real beer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What the hell?
You know, Stone Cold don't travel around with nothing, no fake beer.
But if you're going to do this with an actual real addict, guys.
Well,
that's a bad idea.
Yeah. And they didn't know that he was on the medicine until afterwards, after he starts, having a reaction and stuff. And checked out. But yeah, that's definitely what this is. This reminds me of that step for step.
I don't like it. No me gusta. I do not like it. Every time I'm just like, ooh. No, cut it out. Like if the plant relapses, it's your fault. Why would you do this?
Right. There is a pay-per-view this Sunday. The hashtag will be hashtag extreme with an X. Extreme cast. So please join us and share your commentary with color this Sunday starting at 7 p.m. But at this time, Miss Simi, I'd like to turn it over to you for your shout outs and thank yous.
Well, shout out to you, Don. Shout out to the CSPN family and shout out to the listeners. You guys are great. Love seeing you in the hashtag.
I'd like to give a shout out to Miss Simi for joining me once again here on the Dark Match. Give a shout out to Mo to the underscore Reese. Check us out on the latest edition of the Rawcast where we review Monday Night Raw. Give a shout out to Anwar Starwin and Terry's Boy. They joined me on the most recent edition of Cast a Strong Style where we talked about the New Japan Cup and also Dominion, which saw the new double champion crowned in the form of Evil. So check that podcast out. It's a lot of fun with those guys. I really enjoy talking New Japan with them. Give a shout out to Miss Didi Jonay. Give a shout out to Sam. Give a shout out to Greg. Give a shout out to Classic. Give a shout out to Mel because Mel always gets shout outs. Shout out to all the members of the Glow, all the Wrestle Bays, Miss Didi Jonay, Madame Lizette, Jupiter Julep, Asleep Though, Kimmy D, and everybody who shows up in the hashtag Eat and every week for NXT Cast, Dynamite Cast, Raw Cast, SmackDown Matters, Cast a Strong Style as well. We definitely appreciate each and every one of you. Continue to support the podcast through the Patreon page at patreon.com/CSPN Media. You can hear me and Miss Simi review AEW Dynamite each and every week. Also, there's post and pre-show conversations from each show we record there as well. So more content can be had over on the Patreon page, cspn.us. You can also support us that way through buying something through our sponsors. Get on Amazon. You got a bunch of free time. Soon you'll have a bunch of free money when they send the extra $2,000. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, go to cspn.us. Click on the tab that says keep our podcast free. Click on Amazon. Spend your whole $2,000. And some of that will come back to us to help keep the show free each and every week. We greatly appreciate you guys supporting the show any way that you can. Leave feedback, reviews, interact with us on Twitter. Look out for the poll for Extreme Cast this weekend. I'll have the matches up. You guys can tell us who you got, who you think is going to come out victorious. And again, we'll see you guys this Sunday in the hashtag Extreme Cast. So for my co-host, Miss Simi, I'm your host, Don DeLorente. Thank you for listening to the NXT Cast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Bye. I miss you, Roman. Come back soon.
I have to celebrate the fact that there is an understanding. This wasn't done on my own. Opportunity created this. Chances created this. And I understand I'm not a self-made man. There's no such thing as that. I have to acknowledge the fact that Tim Brooks was more than just a trainer for me. Tim Brooks was like a father. He was there when no one else was, and he believed in me when no one else did. There's one more person that has been playing a pivotal part in all this. I don't even think he realizes it, but the fact is, I saw him backstage, and I know you're at a point where you're trying to decide what you're doing with the rest of your career here in WWE, but I feel like maybe, just maybe, I can help you out with that, because I'm not just celebrating for me, I'm celebrating for Tim Brooks, and I'm celebrating for the NXT and WWE Universe. And so right now, I'd like to have a talk with my number one frenemy, Dominik Dijakovic. Let's talk. You are the one individual that has tested my limits like no one else has. And so with that in mind, I figured the best way to represent these championships is by the thing I love, and that's competition. Perhaps the first challenger for these championships should be Dominik Dijakovic.
Keith, honestly, I don't know.
Just say yes.
Yes.